T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
And when you ask a question like that, it's very deceptive, John. It's almost as deceptive as you showing all of the bombings taking place in Syria. And it turned out that the bombing that you showed on television took place in Kentucky. So, you know, and I'm not even sure that ABC apologized for that. But
ain't politics fun these days? No kidding. Happy Thursday morning. Another Oval Office blow up. How about that with Nancy and Chuck and Steny storming out yesterday? I tell you, folks, if you've not paid attention to the news cycle in the last 12 hours, it's something to see. I'm gonna let McCarthy from California explain what really happened in that meeting. This is why Democrats don't want TV cameras in these meetings. Can I just tell you that? Because they can come out and claim whatever they want afterwards, and the media sucks it up like a dry chamois cloth. Can I just tell you that? That's what happens. So, anyway.
Yeah, this was a real he said, she said wine fest.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's very silly.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that here this morning because it's very similar to a past incident with Nancy and Chuck and the president. Yeah. I'm going to get to that in the soapbox coming up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, absolutely. The breaking news overnight, you probably heard on Fox at the top, is that Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummins passed away. Seemed pretty sudden. Apparently, he's been sick since September. I'd heard nothing about that.
I didn't
that
know that either. Yeah, that took me by surprise.
So we will start the countdown clock on how long it takes for them to somehow blame this on Donald Trump. But we'll see what happens. I didn't know he was sick. I mean, they got in that dust up over the rats in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I just assumed he was in Congress at the time, but apparently he was at home recovering from some surgical procedure. I don't even know what was wrong with him.
They just said long-standing illness.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I've heard. Yeah. He's only 68.
Have not heard any more on that at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Wow. You know what? I completely forgot to mention yesterday, and I didn't want to steal their thunder, so I'm glad I didn't. Is the Glover celebrated his anniversary on this radio station.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until after we left yesterday.
That's great.
19 years.
Wow. Congratulations, Glover.
Yep,
that's something.
Congrats.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So they're in their 20th year, and I guess somehow they knew yesterday was the anniversary of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who kept track of that. He refused to play his first tape. And I don't blame him, and I'll tell you why. I was listening back then. I didn't think it was bad, but I would never let anybody see my first audition tape for TV ever. It was awful.
I've heard it. You don't sound anything like yourself.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I wouldn't say it was awful, but it sounds like a different
man. I've
never
listened to mine. I have it, but I've never listened to it.
What tape are you talking about, Tricia?
You shared one with
one
us,
of
didn't
your
you?
Air so checks that, when you
well,
were
well. That was
a
an early that was an early radio report I did when I was in Zanesville, Ohio.
Mm, are
so you
talking about
video?
Early radio?
My very first television tape, my first couple of tapes, I wouldn't show to anybody. It's no wonder I struggled to get a job out of college. So I'm just saying.
We've all
look
been
how
there.
Far you've come.
So anyway, it's a great accomplishment for anybody in media these days to stay in one place for and on the air for 19 years. So that's pretty impressive.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I was at Channel 4 for 19 years.
Oh, wow.
But nobody gave me a cake or anything. So I don't know.
Did Glover get a cake?
Kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, wait, if he did, is it in the office?
There was cake.
Can we find it? Is it hiding?
Somebody brought some food in yesterday at some point, didn't they? Like some vendor or something brought some food in?
I don't know. We're never here for that.
I know. By the time we get to it the next morning, it's like
well,
it's
we want
botulism
food. Mark has
central.
To bring
you
it.
Don't, yeah, thank you. But we're not complaining. We're happy
all.
To be here.
I would also say one other thing. He was insulting, particularly to the speaker. She kept her cool completely, but he called her a third-rate politician.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
Wow, did you hear Chuckie Schumer outside of the White House yesterday? Let me read a headline to you this morning. Trump's heated meeting at the White House. Must have been ripped right out of this morning's headlines, right? Well, you'd be wrong. That's the CNN headline from December 11th, 2018. Remember that one? The president welcomed Chuck and Nancy to the Oval Office to talk about border funding and whether or not the government was going to shut down. And he also invited the media to stay while he did that. Now, if you remember that meeting, Nancy Pelosi looked like a cat on a hot tin roof. The last thing Nancy Pelosi ever wants is to argue with Donald Trump in front of the cameras. Remember this.
But after the cameras were summoned at the last minute, Pelosi and Schumer pleaded with Trump to have this fight behind closed doors.
I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this.
Let's debate in private. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that? Now, what you saw yesterday in Washington is exactly why Nancy Pelosi never wants to talk about these issues in front of the media. Because she can't walk out later and put her own spin on it. Larry, Curly, and Moe, in this case, Chuck and Nancy and Steny, marched out of the Oval Office yesterday to the waiting TV cameras and claimed the president threw a temper tantrum. Gee, that sounds familiar. Hey, wait a minute. Let me take you back to the tape from December of 2018.
Schumer later telling reporters this while still standing in front of the West Wing.
This Trump shutdown, this temper tantrum that he seems to throw, will not get him his wall.
So do you hear the similar wording? Anytime they don't get what they want, it's the president that threw a temper tantrum. But the White House tells a far different story about what happened yesterday. The Democrats get away with this stuff because they have willing participants in the mainstream media. Nancy's tried and true effort of stirring up a hornet's nest and then claiming somehow she was insulted only works if she's not arguing with Donald Trump. Let me put it this way. There's a lot of talk about transparency. It's mostly talk. These decisions on public policy don't happen in front of a television camera or in front of the public. That's exactly where Nancy and Chuck want to keep it, because they can walk out afterwards and say whatever they want about whatever happened in that meeting. Three different times in that December 2018 meeting, Chuck and Nancy asked the president, let's not do this in front of them. Them is the TV cameras and the reporters who were recording what was going on in that room. Guess who they were doing it for? They were doing it for us. So we could see this interaction between the president and the leaders of the Democratic Party. Donald Trump is not like most politicians. I know that's not a shocking statement these days. Donald Trump is like a honey badger. Remember the honey badger? The honey badger don't care. He says what we're thinking. And what he said yesterday that rings true to me is that Nancy Pelosi is a third-rate politician. That's what she got so offended about. She and Schumer and Schiff treat this president of the United States with such utter disregard and disrespect on a daily basis. How dare she claim to be insulted? She also plays on the short memory of the American public. You know, in past elections, political opponents have called each other horrible things, like murderers and adulterers and pimps. And that was just about the Clintons. I'm kidding. But seriously, read up on the race between John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson in 1828. That's where that happened. Today's media has nothing on our ancestors when it comes to pursuing a political agenda. And Democrats today are coming into a battle of wits unarmed. Listen to Andrew McCarthy, Congressman McCarthy, on what happened yesterday in the Oval Office. Kevin McCarthy, cut 24.
The president starts out and he provides the letter that he sent to the president of Turkey, Erdogan. Very strong letter not to go into this area. As he passes it around, he starts with me, we hand it to every leader. You know what the Speaker Pelosi did? She doesn't read it. She turns it over flat to show in the president's face she's not going to read his letter. Then she starts to smile. The president calls her out, Nancy, why are you laughing? This is a serious item. The general, the Joint Chief, tells how he recommended to the president that he remove some of our men because they were in danger. He didn't want them to be harmed. We've got the vice president over in Turkey trying to get a ceasefire, and everything they care about is impeachment.
Does that sound like a temper tantrum happened in the White House yesterday by anyone other than Nancy Pelosi? No. President tweeted out a picture of her wagging her finger at him. I bet that was fun.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
This president is turning the moral leadership of this country into a dumpster fire.
Let's get to Stacey, please.
Shout the battle cry. You'll never stop me. I'm a warrior.
We witness it to every day, don't we, Stacey Washington? That's the truth.
It's all we can do is just try to survive in the age of Trump and Trump derangement syndrome.
Wow. It's complete derangement syndrome. It doesn't matter what is done or said. You know, I'm interested to get your take on this. I had John Shimkus on the radio, the congressman there from the 15th District over in Illinois, and he's the one that claims that he has quit his support for the president largely over what's happened in Syria. Now, as a veteran and somebody who's observed this situation, how do you feel about the president's decision over there?
Okay, so I know this is going to be a shock to some people who, if you've listened to me from the very beginning up until now, this is a bit of a metamorphosis, but I have good reasoning behind it. It's because I've spent a lot of time on the radio, just like you, Mark, interviewing people who've actually spent their adult lives studying the Middle East and Syria, the Kurds, all of the different things that are at play here. And what we have is a NATO ally going to invade Syria, and all of the Kurds, it's not like 100% of the Kurds are on one side. Some of the Kurds are fighting with Syria. That just happened. Some of them obviously want their own country away from Turkey, and they want to break away. So this isn't a simple issue that you just say, oh, you know what, Mark? Here's two sentences, and that explains the whole morass. But where do I stand on it? Well, I tend to allow myself some space to understand both sides of any issue. But on this one, I tend to just boil it down to, why are we there? It's a nice, easy question. And I haven't been able to find anyone who wants us to still be there who can tell us why we should expend our precious capital, meaning the blood of our servicemen and women, to be in a space where Turkey is going into Syria. We've already accomplished our mission there. We quote unquote wanted to destroy ISIS. We've done that. We've ended their caliphate. They are no more. And the countries that the ISIS soldiers come from don't want to receive them back. And so we're supposed to stay there so we can be basically a big, huge American jail for countries that don't want to take responsibility for their own citizens. I don't think so. The other issue that I have is the president said when he was on the campaign trail that he was going to lessen the number of foreign entanglements that the United States military was involved in. And in some of the senseless wars that we're engaged in that do not have a congressional authorization. So not going into Syria with Turkey or preventing them from going into Syria or arming the Kurds or being with the Kurds, in other words, picking yet another failed side, is exactly what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail. So if you voted for Donald Trump, awesome, he's following through on promises. If you didn't, this should not shock you because this is what he told you he was going to do. So I think it's actually pretty logical. And I think there's just one more question after why should we be there? We've been there for 30 years. We've not won much. This is one situation where we have actually accomplished a goal, a stated goal, that Congress didn't get to ratify. So what reason do we have to stay beyond what we said we were going to do? And I haven't found anybody who can answer either one of those questions.
Yeah, well stated. I had Jim Carafano on last week. He's trying to describe the fact that it's not a huge policy change, given the fact that there's no congressional approval for being there in the first place. There are about 200 troops involved. John Shimka says that, you know, having the 200 troops there was the equivalent of having people massed on the border in the DMZ. It prevents North Korea from coming across. When we had U.S. troops stationed in Germany, it prevented Russia from coming across. His argument is that just our presence was important to our allies there. And I'm like, but as you pointed out, the mission was accomplished. And all we were doing was standing there as a placeholder, and the president was having to write letters to the families of troops that were being killed and trying to explain why they gave their life for the country. And he couldn't.
Well, and so it's true. If you put American resources on the ground anywhere in the world, that comes with the full force and credit of the United States military and the U.S. government. And that is a deterrent. And you're right, it sounds crazy, but 200 troops does accomplish that. But is that what we're really, is that still a part of what we went there for? And that's where I go to. And the other thing I have to say about what the president said, it's not the same thing. I'm not trying to make an equivalency here, but I did serve on the U.S. Honor Guard when I was on active duty in the Air Force down at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And one of the toughest things I've ever had to do was when it was my turn to bear the folded flag that we removed from the draping of the casket and hand it to a family member. And I remember the couple of times I did it, you basically march back over and then it's time for the 21-gun salute. And I would just be fighting back the tears because the air would be so thick with emotion because it's a funeral.
Right.
And so these are people who've given their lives. And these are people who have a choice to go into the military and offer themselves up on behalf of our Constitution and this great country. So it's not that we pity them because they didn't know what they were getting into. Every service member goes in with their eyes wide open. But it doesn't change the fact that sometimes I feel like they're dying. That's wrong to me when we don't have an explanation or a clear-cut goal as to what we're working for, the reason that people are giving their lives.
Yes.
They know why they're doing it, but we want to have a clear-cut reason why they're doing it. And their family members should never feel as if their son or daughter died and it's not really a good reason. And there's no quote fingers in that. Mm-hmm. You really want to have a valid reason why your child gave their life for this country. The president has made an excellent point, and we should think about that.
That's a good point. Stacey, a great common sense as usual. We appreciate you bringing it to the show. Thank you.
Public opinion is changing across the board based on recent polling data and stuff that's come out today. So I'm feeling awfully good about last night's debate.
Whatever you got to tell yourself, Joe.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty good about it.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
You're right, Joe. Yeah,
he's
he was
absolutely
mean.
Trisha, thank you so much. Trisha captured for me what is going to be one of my new favorite stingers here because, as usual, our friend Hannity summed up the winner of the debate the other night for the Democrats, don't you think? Wait for it.
I think the winner is Donald Trump.
In so many of these things, I think the winner is Donald Trump. Seems pretty clear that he was the winner in the little mix-up in the White House yesterday. Can we all agree on that?
Seems yes. That way.
I think we can. I mean, I'm not trying to sway the audience here, but...
You'd never do that.
I would never do that. Ever. Wow. Yeah. Little hand-wringing. Yesterday, I saw the stories have already started in the post-disgrace on the sports page about what the Cardinals are going to have to do before next season.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And our friend, the Dalai Lama of sports, Tom Ackerman, is going to be in later today to talk about this with us. But saw him tweet out, well, it's a great season. Only 4 months till pitchers and catchers report.
There you go.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
And let's go Blues. That's fantastic. I think that's funny. it's hard to believe, though, isn't it? I mean, again, 4 months from now, and in between there, we're going to have a bunch of holidays and Christmas and
a whole lot of hockey.
A whole lot of hockey.
Well,
it's going to be time to talk baseball again.
I mean, I don't want to. I mean, I'm all excited for the next baseball season to start, but can the 4 months just slow down, please?
They're going to go by so quickly.
They will.
Yeah. I've already started. Have you guys started thinking about Christmas presents?
No.
I have already purchased your Christmas presents. I told you that.
Thank you.
These are our birthday / Christmas.
They're going to be a combination.
Christmas presents.
Uh-oh, now I just had to add somebody else to my list.
No, I'm not. I don't want anything in return. You don't give presents just to get something in return. I saw this for you guys, and I knew that you had to have it. So that's very thoughtful.
We're excited.
Just waiting for it to arrive. Just taking its time.
This is like birthday season for me, so like I need some downtime. Like I've had to spend so much time with birthday presents and parties and blah blah blah. I need to wait a while, then I can focus on Christmas.
You're not done. You've still got more birthdays, your own included.
Your own, yeah.
I don't have to buy myself anything, and really, no one really buys me.
But there's a party, and then it's Thanksgiving, and then it's Christmas.
There's no party.
You're not having a party.
Heavens, no.
Not that you were having a party. Are you sure?
No way. I'll go out to dinner with my family, but I do not. I like to throw parties. Like, I don't mind, but like that, I do not like to have parties for me.
I know, but I thought you had mentioned that your family was throwing a party for you.
No.
Well, then I'm going to throw you a party. There will be a party.
Please don't.
What are you?
I can't imagine anything worse than a surprise party either. So never, ever, ever.
I wanted one for my 30th.
That's like a nightmare to me. I don't know. I've never been a fan of having a party for myself.
Well, yeah, that's kind of strange.
It's weird.
I kind of like it.
Well, I mean, or someone throw. No, I mean,
it's
not
nice when other people have a party for you.
No, I don't like that either.
I think it's great. If you guys want to throw me a party for Denise's birthday,
yours isn't far behind.
Can I just tell you that I'm just going to make this observation?
Okay, please do.
You are a very low maintenance person. Can I just tell you that?
Is that a compliment or a criticism?
No, it's very, very much a compliment.
Okay.
It's very much a compliment, and I hope that Doug appreciates that. Right?
I'm actually the lucky one in that department. So
see what a great symbiotic relationship they have.
Yeah,
she doesn't want parties. She doesn't like, you know, we don't trade gifts. Didn't you tell me that one time that you don't get each other gifts for your birthday or whatever?
No, we don't.
Our anniversary?
Well, I mean, if I find something, like, I'll get it and be like, okay, girls, you know, just this is from you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or if they come up with something, then I'll get it from the girls. But yeah, we don't, like, Christmas, anniversary, no, we don't. Yeah, I never have. Never really have.
Now, see, if I said you were high maintenance, that would be a different issue, but I didn't say that. I said you strike me as very low maintenance.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It's very much a compliment. Okay. I absolutely, sincerely mean that as a compliment. Because honestly, I have not heard a lot of people express that. Usually, if you have two people in a relationship, even if one of them feels like that, they often get trumped by the other one who's going to buy him something for every anniversary or birthday gift or whatever anyway, right?
Yeah, I used to be better about like cards. Like I would do cards a lot, and I don't know if it's now that I've become cheap as I've gotten older, but I'm like, there's very few people I'll buy a card for.
Well, cards got expensive too. You go to Walgreens, it's
like
$8
for a card.
I'm like, what the hell?
No, I know, like my mom and my dad will keep them and look at them and they appreciate that, and I get that. But for the most part, it's like, yep, toss it.
Is there any money in this? Nope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope. All right. Thanks. That was $9 on a card that just went in the trash can, and I'm over that.
Yeah, I'm over cards too.
Yeah. My wife's like that too. She hates when I bring a card back and it's a $4 or $5 card. She wants to go to the.
You could have bought me a pizza with that.
The shoebox cards that are 99 cents. Is that the ones?
Oh yeah, if I have to get a card for something, I'm going straight to the 99 cent aisle.
Going to get tossed into garbage anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great point. Well, happy birthday. We're going to tell you happy birthday whether you want us to or not.
Well, that's fine. I'm taking next week off to celebrate.
Birthday.
There you go. That's what I'm doing.
What are you getting for Hillary?
Don't tell me what to say.
I do share a birthday with Hillary. I need to find somebody else that I share a birthday with so I can have somebody else come to mind first. Because I got to tell you, sharing it with Hillary is not my fave.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Yeah.
I bet she's a little more high maintenance than I am.
Can you imagine?
Bill better buy her something really good for her birthday.
Well, all he's got to do is
share a birthday with Keith Urban too.
Oh, that's great.
Take
it. I like that. I'll take that one.
All he's got to do is go to the local Italian restaurant and borrow one of their tablecloths and have it made into a muumuu for her. That's what she tends to wear whenever I see her out in public. I mean, seriously. Curtains, you could rip down a curtain, just take it, you know, to...
She does kind of, yeah, her, I don't know who's styling her. You know she has somebody styling her.
Nobody styles her.
Somebody has to. Somebody picks that stuff out for her. I mean, she may be like, please go to the muumuu store and pick me out the newest one, but... She's not doing that herself.
Yeah, she's too high and mighty to pick out her own muumuus.
Can you just take those curtains down and make that into an outfit for me?
In this press.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
It is embarrassing.
It
Sorry.
Is.
Sorry to bring that up.
Michelle Obama, on the other hand, does dress very well.
She does.
And so does Melania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll agree with both those. There we go.
Sure.
It's like it pains him to say that Michelle Obama dresses well.
It hurts me, but she's stylish.
I quite frankly didn't pay that much attention, to be honest with you, to any of it. I just thought that there's just such a double standard that Michelle Obama would wear a $5,000 dress or whatever designer dress because they got plenty of money. And when Melania Trump wears one, it's a headline in the...
Yeah, it was very rarely an issue how much Michelle Obama's clothes cost, mm-hmm. where it's much more an issue for Melania. But either way, they both have plenty of money to spend on their clothing, and if that's what they spend their money on,
It's because one looks like a runway model and one doesn't. That's probably just jealousy. That's all it is.
No, I think most people find Michelle rather attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say she wasn't attractive. You took that the wrong way. Yeah. I didn't say she wasn't attractive. Those words never came out of my mouth.
Okay, what
were you
saying then?
I just said one looks
then?
Like a runway model and one doesn't. That's
okay.
All. Like, what do you envision when you see a runway model? I'm not shaming anyone here. The rail-thin models that walk down, that's what Melania looks like. It's what she looks like. I'm just saying. She was a model, right?
Yes. You're accurate there.
Trisha's eyeballing me over there. I'm not dissing anybody.
She's trying to get
I'm
you out of this.
Pointing
hear the
out.
Music.
We're trying to help you. Stop.
Get out while you still can.
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.